Com.
Welcome to another version of America Tonight. As you all know, each and every show we go inside the Beltway to talk with Talk Radio News. It's always a pleasure to have Bob Nee on the show. Talk about an insider. Bob, you know about the game of politics and certainly how rough and tumble it can be when you're trying to raise money and you're trying to run and all that sort of stuff. But if there's someone who can raise money, it's Mitt Romney. What do you think of Mitt Romney thrown in? You're not surprised, are you?
Well, no, I mean, Mitt Romney's in this now. It's going to be interesting because the Republicans are saying, well, you know, you had Romney care like Obama care. But I think what's fascinating, though, Kate, is today, you know, Sarah Palin sticks a sword in him. And everybody's saying, well, because she's going to run for president. And I don't think that's why. I think she's doing it clearly. She wants to be the kingmaker, and you better curtsy to her, you better bow to her, and you better pay attention, because she is going to speak on behalf of the Tea Party, and that's why she threw this volley.
Yeah, and do you think she has a lot of power? It looks like she does in the Tea Party.
She absolutely has a tremendous amount of power, and putting aside if someone doesn't like her, it still remains the fact that she is a kingmaker. You better talk to her. You better have her support because she is the darling of the Tea Party. No question.
Yeah, absolutely. So she won't throw in, though. You don't think she's going to try to jump into this race. She's being pretty coy about it, doing the bus tour, going to historic places. I don't think she will. And my insiders that have been near Palin say they don't think so either, ultimately, but that she likes the idea of kind of toying with it. Do you think that's pretty accurate?
Oh, I think that's real accurate. I have an old car. I don't want to lose it, but I wouldn't. I would bet that she's not going to be on the ticket. She's not going to announce. This is a power, and also again a kingmaker. And this is the first volley I think you're seeing with what she's done to Mitt Romney.
Yeah, let's move on to the president who met with the Democrats all over this debt limit stuff, and the talks are really just crawling along. House Speaker John Boehner the other day was saying, look, we got to get something done by June. What happens here? What happened in that meeting?
Well, the president made a good move. I think he met with the Republicans and he met with the Democrats, which is a good move because, you know, he is in the middle of this thing in the sense that he can be a broker or, a deal maker on this thing. But I think he had to meet with the Democrats because there's just a lot of problems on the Democratic side as there is on the Republican side. And I think it was more of a unity meeting, not so much of a you're going to do what President Obama says, but more of a meeting of, look, let's talk this through versus, stabbing each other and creating a situation that makes the ability to eventually talk about this issue even an unrealistic thing. So I think it was more of a healing type of approach.
Yeah. I'm going to bounce back to 2012 again for a second. I was reading something the other day, and we've been talking about a lot on the air, and I said when I went to you that you have to be good at raising money. Your people can get you in front of people, but people have to want to meet you, whether you're running for Congress, Senate, or president. They're saying that the incumbent president has to have $1 billion, and he will have $1 billion in his war chest. Is that how much it takes to elect a president now?
Well, it's more money. Look, I went through this myself with lobbyists, of course, Jack Abramoff, the most infamous of all. But I've got to tell you, the fact remains it's just getting more expensive. Campaign finance reform didn't do a thing to stop this flow. And I don't know if it's going to be $1 billion, but he's going to have an amazing amount of money, not because he's in severe trouble, but the fact that it's just, with networking, radio ads, TV, everything that's involved with it, it's escalating beyond what we can even think is possible.
Yeah, I agree. You have a good one, Bob Nee, Talk Radio News. Thanks. All right, they're talking a little bit about Sarah Palin. It's interesting what Bob had to say, that she is a king maker when it comes to the Tea Party, and he agreed with me. It's more in toying with the idea and ultimately, though, being somebody who has a huge voice but doesn't run for president. See, she made the run to New Hampshire, and everybody's antenna went up. Ooh, New Hampshire. When you go to New Hampshire, you're going there for two things. Either you're looking at the leaves in the fall, or you're running for president. And so she went to New Hampshire, and that started a little bit of water cooler buzz as to whether or not the timing of that visit was because she's really, truly testing the waters herself. She said her decision to jump into New Hampshire on the very same day that Mitt Romney was announcing was just a coincidence. But, as Bob pointed out, she really did sizzling him. She slayed him. Good. And said, I think it's exciting for him. It's a coincidence that we're in the same same place at the same time. More power, you know, to him. Good luck. That kind of thing. But she took away a lot of the spotlight by being in New Hampshire. So it was an interesting time. And there were some people speculating because she was meeting with Fox, the Fox News president, Roger Ailes, and she told reporters that she didn't, you know, offer to resign and that, you know, they just met and they had a great conversation and, you know, don't read anything into it, that's all that was about. Sarah Palin, I'll tell you what, just like Donald Trump in a little bit of a different twist, finds a way to make the news. All right, coming up on this hour of America Tonight, first of all, around the bend, we've got the Daily Salute. I'm surprised that my voice is as hearty as it is because I thought I was going to lose my voice, and I'm going to tell you why when we come back. I was on the floor before this show. I mean, on the floor. Also, an update from what's happening in your backyard. We see that tornadoes now are the common denominator among so many of us. Crazy to say that, right? But weather is the thing. And the Massachusetts governor is talking about the extraordinary destruction that the twister wreaked havoc with Springfield, Massachusetts. And I have an interesting side story to that, a personal story to what happened in Massachusetts that we'll jump to as well in our next segment, too. Also coming up, we'll check the mailbag. So many of you, which I love, respond to me saying, listen, if you have something you want to get off your chest, you can call in. You're working, you're sneaking, and listening to us on the radio. Well, shoot me an email. Or you think about something afterwards. Or you listen to the show later on. And as you listen, you're thinking, wow, I wish I could call. But now I'm listening to the show after it's been on. I'm downloading it, in other words. And I want to say something. You can. All you have to do is go to the website, americatonight.net, and share it with us. It's that easy, right? So all that, and plus a little twist in the middle. And the little twist in the middle is one of my favorite segments that we do. It's called It's Your Business. As I'm trying to introduce you to different people around the country who do a whole bunch of different things, and tonight you're going to meet an architect. I've always been fascinated by architecture, which maybe some of you have been too. When you go to different cities and you check out, like I've been in San Antonio, you take the little boat ride and you look up, you know, down the canals and you see all these gargoyles on some of these buildings. I mean, creepy looking gargoyles. And you wonder, well, what was that about? Why do they have so many of them placed on this building? Or you go to Philadelphia and you see some of the old colonial houses, you know, which there are very few of those standing. They've mostly been rebuilt. But it's interesting to look at that architecture. So I'm excited to introduce you to a man who has that same passion for architecture, and it is his job. But coming up around the bend, the Daily Salute and what's going on in Massachusetts. Hang with us.
Would you like to rev up your metabolism and energy while lifting your spirits? Now a new healthy tea is available that will do just that, and it's called Zoom Tea. Zoom Tea was developed for a former welterweight boxing champion to increase his energy and focus in the ring. Zoom Tea is an alternative healthy pick-me-up that can replace coffee, common tea, or soda. Zoom Tea also helps remove radiation from the body, promotes weight loss, and is high in antioxidants. For a limited time, get our introductory price for a one-month supply of this amazing tea for just $20, or a two-month supply for only $35, and we'll pay the shipping and handling. Go to our website now and start feeling the healthy and energizing benefits from drinking Zoom Tea. Go to ZoomTea.com. That's ZoomTea.com. or call toll-free 877-341-4769. 877-341-4769 today.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Got me spinning round and round, round and round.
Coming up, like I said, we're going to give you that daily salute. I'm bringing it back. By the way, if you have any candidates for the daily salute, shoot it to me. Send it to me. Email. I want to hear what's going on in your backyard. If someone is doing something phenomenal that you think I should talk to them, contact them, whatever, send me the information and we'll do just that. It doesn't have to be famous people. You know, a lot of times my daily salute is something that's happened where somebody's in the news or something cool somebody did to help somebody else or just something that I think was pretty exhilarating. So, you know, you can stretch the definition all over the place. That's how we roll here on America Tonight. Kate Delaney is always happy to be at the helm as we get ready for another weekend. Boy, this week flew by, didn't it? Ha ha. Because we had an extra day off. So it did. It sailed by, I think. One quick thing as an aside. I am a coffee person. Yeah, I don't necessarily drink a lot of coffee. I find that I'll have like half a cup here, half a cup there. Yeah, I'm one of those people. You know, I brew like a giant pot, and I have just a little here, a little there. It seems like I'm always getting coffee, and you've heard me kvetch about the price of coffee, which is off the charts. But then I read today that coffee possibly causes cancer. They got to make up their mind. First, coffee's good for you, and it's okay to have a cup of coffee or a couple cups of coffee. I mean, not if you're drinking 15 cups of coffee, because, of course, that's the extreme. You know, the old saying, everything in moderation. But once again, I'm checking some health site somewhere, and I see that the World Health Organization, always ready to scare us to death, says that, coffee. The problem is that coffee is in the same, they call it the 2B category, as cell phones. You know, they're talking about cell phones. That cell phones possibly have carcinogens that might lead to cancer. I seriously doubt people are going to put down their cell phones. They're not. But coffee has the same stuff in it. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? There's evidence of that. So they say drinking coffee could be associated with cancer of the large bowel. Great. So on one hand, coffee was supposedly linked to lowering your risk of fatal prostate cancer if you're a guy. And now they're saying that you could have cancer of the large bowel. And they're doing these studies on Japanese and Korean populations where they looked at what they've been eating. Like, of course, what are they eating? The vegetables. And what happens with the vegetables? How good is that for you? And the, you know, how fresh are the vegetables and, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, finding that coffee, they're not drinking a lot of coffee. So, I mean, what are we supposed to do? There's all different levels of these carcinogens, by the way. There is a 2A and there's a 2B. So just remember that your cell phone, I know I've got mine somewhere around, if you're looking at me, by the way, because I'm on camera, if you go to americatonight.net. So this crazy cell phone, this iPhone that's ridiculously cost you an arm and a leg anyway, and this cup of coffee basically have the same crud in them. So I'm going to have to give up cell phone and coffee. Oh, I'm going to be a mess. All of you people who smoke, and I'm always defending your rights, even though I don't smoke and I hate smoke and all that, we're going to be like the rest. We're all addicts. We're addicted to something. Something is going to kill us. You know, I guess that's what you have to think about. All right, let's turn to Massachusetts. And, of course, the tornado that ripped through Springfield, 4 people dead as a result of that. But there was so much damage, 55,000 plus without power, trees all over the place, on top of houses, in front of houses, covering up highways. There were roofs that were ripped off like it was a sardine can lid. And the Massachusetts governor, who already declared a state of emergency after really touring the destruction, said it's incredible in a bad way that, you know, you've got people stuck. You have more than really 200 people that had to go to hospitals. Originally, they were saying, oh, yeah, 40, but then more people started to show up. So we had the steeple that crashed to the ground, and you had people running. You had people that were at work, which might have been okay, because with more people at work, they weren't in their houses. It wasn't like in the middle of the night or whatever. But sadly, the 4 people, I hate it when they're nameless victims, right? As the story goes, one is a 39-year-old mother. She was killed. She was laying on top of her daughter in the bathtub, shielding her from the storm. The house came down, and here's the silver lining to that story. So she definitely had the maternal instinct. She was saving her child. The house came down. The daughter lived, but the mother didn't make it. Then there was a 23-year-old who died when the tree fell into the car that he was sitting in. He was just sitting in the car. Suddenly the tornado comes through and the tree goes down, and that was it. So, and they were in a very heavily damaged place. And you had rows and rows of treetops that were just sheared. It was like somebody mowed the tops of them off for a stretch of 15 miles. Wow. So the devastation is not like Joplin, but the degree of damage and homes that were damaged are very severe. It's very, very profound, very significant, because they were talking about 19 different little suburbs that had tornado damage. So it wasn't just Springfield. There were some other places that also got slammed by it. And it was this weather system up the Atlantic coast that obviously caused this, and it impacted all of those counties. Now, I'm going to broadcast live from New Jersey and New York next week. I'm going to be at the UN on Thursday, and I'm also going to a thing called Talkers, where you have, you know, Sean Hannity and other people in the talk business from the right to the left and everywhere in between. I'm actually going there to, like I said, broadcast from the UN, do a show from there, and also attend the Talkers convention, where one of our teammates from GCN, Alex Jones, is a keynote speaker. He made the cover
if you haven't seen it, of Talkers Magazine. So that's all exciting stuff, except for that the magazine is located in Springfield, Massachusetts, and they were scrambling to get things done because of the tornado. But luckily, Michael Harrison and all that fine crew up there, they are safe and sound, thank goodness. They didn't get hit by it. Their particular office didn't, but boy, they had to deal with the conditions there. All right, here's the Daily Salute, quickly. I hope our crowd in Minneapolis is ready to applaud. The Dallas Mavericks rallied in the fourth quarter to knock off the Miami Heat. Even if you're not a sports fan, you can appreciate this. The Heat are loaded for bear. They have three of the best players. I call it the three-headed monster in the game going today. I mean, they really are the better team. So the Mavericks are down. They're in a hole. They go on a 17-2 run, and they beat the Heat 95-93 as seconds tick away. Woo! Sweet! Swing! Yeah. All of you can appreciate that, a great game like that. Sure, even if you're not a sports fan. The fact that the underdog, they're getting piled on. They're getting pummeled. And somehow they find a way to win with some good defense and with Dirk Nowitzki, who is their star, ending up with 9 points in that final quarter and getting in the paint, taking that final shot. It goes down. Miami had a couple of seconds left on the clock. There was a desperation shot. It didn't go in. Dwayne Wade tried to nail it, wasn't able to do it. And the Mavericks now split that seven-game NBA final series at one apiece. Just a fantastic ending. See, as I said, with the Daily Salute, you never know where we're going to go with it. Usually it's not a sports-related thing, but, boy, my heart was pounding. I started to watch the tail end of that. And after I had done a bunch of stuff on politics, I flipped on the tube and I was watching that fourth quarter and I thought, wow, this is crazy. They're not getting the shots off. If they are, they're missing everything. They couldn't hit the broadside of a barn at one point, and then they're able to dig their way out. Coming up next, the architect I was telling you about is going to talk about a couple of things, including the fact that construction is an economic indicator of where we are on the comeback trail when it comes to this recession that supposedly is in our rear view mirror. Don't want to miss it. That's coming up around the bend here on America Tonight.
Have garlic breath after I take Ali C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali C. And the answer is, Ali C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boosts resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali C. For more information and to order Ali C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali C.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water, and because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. It's one of my favorite segments we do on the show. For this week's In Your Business, I thought I'd introduce you to an architect. Now, if I wasn't doing the broadcasting thing, there's a chance I might have become an architect. I've always been fascinated by buildings. I don't know if I would have been any good, but I've always been fascinated by buildings and design and whatnot. So it'll be a lot of fun talking to Kevin Wallace. He's the vice president of SCI Design. It's a company out of Carrollton, Texas. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
Good, thank you. How are you doing, Kate?
The architect thing, I got to ask you this because you probably heard me there in the introduction. I really do have a thing about architecture. How hard is it? You know, what's it like going through the schooling, and what do you have to do to become an architect? I don't know much about the. I don't know much about that road. What do you do?
Honestly, it's fairly intensive to become any kind of professional. There's quite a bit of schooling you have to go through, and then there's a number of years of internship, residency if you're a doctor, or associate if you're a lawyer. But in the architecture profession, there's over 5,000 hours of direct business experience that you have to have before you can even sit to take your exams to become a licensed architect.
Woof,
so it's a minimum
5,
five-year degree. I'm sorry.
5,000, huh? 5,000 hours.
Yes.
Woo. Wow. I didn't know. I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew that you had to go through a lot of hoops, definitely, but I didn't realize it was 5,000 hours. And that's just before you can take the test, you're saying?
Correct. It's after a five-year to six-year degree. It's either a five-year degree or a four-year degree with a two-year master's, and then you have to have 5,000 years of business experience before you can sit for your exam.
Hmm. I bet those exams change up maybe a little bit because you're seeing a lot of changes in architecture. We wanted to talk to you about that. What's going on with green design? I mean, first of all, let's wind the clock back. When did you notice that green design started to get more popular?
Well, it's been an initiative, at least coming out of the schools, for the least since the Jimmy Carter era, to be honest with you. A lot of the stuff that we're seeing today started in the 1980s, and the government was trying to fund some initiatives to get more energy-conserving technology and like photovoltaic cells, insulation requirements in buildings, et cetera, and so forth. So that actually started over 30 years ago. We've started seeing a significant effort on the marketing side about 10 years ago when an organization, which is the U.S. Green Building Council, is actually a for-profit council, started pushing energy conservation, sustainable design, and technological advances in order to make our buildings more energy conserving and more environmentally conscious. That started about significantly about 10 years ago.
Yeah, so it's been a decade. Do you find that for when you have clients, because it's always about the bottom line, are they a little leery about, what is it going to cost to actually save energy? What do we need to do? How much are the materials going to cost? That kind of stuff. Do you find that you run into that?
Yes. I mean, the bottom line, it does rule. In fact, it ruled even more today than any time in my career. And I would say maybe the top 2 to 5% of the building and design industry of the actual built project is still focusing on energy conservation and environmental design. Most of us are looking at basically energy conservation, building smarter, more airtight buildings, more insulation in buildings, using Energy Star rated appliances and technology. And that's about as far as we go and can get our owners of the buildings to pay for.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, ultimately, when you put this stuff in, you know better than I do that it does pay off, but the problem is a lot of the upfront costs. So you said it, this is the most that you've seen it where people are really worried about the bottom line. So the economy has had a big impact on construction. I'm certain of it, right?
Absolutely. And we still have, I mean, we're a lagging indicator to an economic recovery, and we're still lagging. We haven't seen it yet.
Do you think, because you guys all talk, this is water cooler talk, it's water cooler talk we have. What do you think as far as if you were predicting it for a turnaround? In your industry, what do you think is going to happen?
We're at least another year out. We're very dependent upon a banking system that's capable of loaning money to develop projects, to speculate on projects. And the banks still are not really loaning money at a rate that's going to allow the construction industry to recover anytime soon. We're looking at least a year before the banking industry recovers enough for them to start loaning money to the construction and design industries.
Yeah. So most of the buildings that you do might be redos or sprucing up, more of that probably than actually building the buildings.
Dead on. I mean, everything we're doing is remodeling, renovating, retrofitting, as you just said, fit-ups, sprucing up to make what's existing fresh.
Yeah. Do you have, because you go through all this schooling, like you told us, talking about the 5,000 hours and the testing and everything, and now finally you're an architect. Do you remember the first project you had?
Yeah, actually I do. Coming out of school, I was very, very lucky. I had a firm that I worked for that allowed me to jump in with both feet into all aspects of the profession. And the first project that I worked on was actually some affordable housing project renovations in Benton Harbor, Michigan.
Ooh, how long did that take you, that job?
That was about a six-month project.
Wow. And so right away you got that job. Did you have a sense of pride, once you were done and everything was finished and, wow, look at what we did?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as an architect, that's why I got in the profession in the first place. It's very inspiring any time I do a project to be able to walk on site and know that what I imagined with my clients and then drew up is actually being built in three dimensions there in front of me, and when I walk away, it'll be there for the next 25 to 50 years. That's why I got an architecture in the first place. I'm literally with my client changing the world.
Yeah, that's cool. Do you, your favorite part of the job, and we're speaking with Kevin Wallace, VP of SCI Design in Carrollton, Texas, and, we're doing one of those things where we go down the road and look at buildings of the future and look at what we're currently doing. Do you have a dream project? Is there a dream project that you would love to do?
That's a good question. I mean, typically, the dream projects for me actually depend a lot on my opportunity to work long-term with my clients. So I like any project as a dream to be able to develop a piece of property in a mixed-use opportunity. So we're doing retail, we're doing office, we're doing residential. And mixing that all together, piece of property is going to take us 5 to 10 years to build it out. I like being involved in that community as it grows up from the ground. And I may not design every aspect of that community, but I'm intimately involved with its development with the owner of that property over the 5 to 10 years of its growth.
Yeah. And you mentioned that all the facets, retail, commercial, et cetera, and residential, do you find that you're doing a lot of residential?
No. We are seeing multifamily in particular coming back, in particular in the Dallas marketplace. But again, it's not really doing new projects. We're doing the remodeling of the multifamily work. Most of our work still is commercial and retail finish out in existing and renovations of existing centers and buildings.
Yeah. Do you think in the future, let's say we're a year out and you're right, you're an economic indicator of where we really are in lagging behind. But let's say everything turns around, let's say it's a year, 2 years, and you look down the road to building. Do you see, I guess it depends on the city and the area, but do you see, Kevin, building up? Are you seeing that people want to go high again, or does it just depend on where we're talking about, or just buildings that are a couple floors?
That's a, that's actually a straight economic question and answer. Energy is going to become more vital and more of a constraint as a design element, just like the budget is a design constraint or the piece of property. And the older the United States gets and the more expensive the use of fossil fuels gets, the more we're going to be forced to build closer to city centers, and which means we're going to have to go vertical. We cannot spread out and expense the energy expense that we're embodying into that urban sprawl. So I see we're going up, and we're going to be focusing and concentrating our development around transportation mode centers.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite we'll end on this one, but do you have a favorite building? Not one that you did, because we talked about that, your first project. That was cool. But do you have a favorite building? What's the thing that really jazzed you up when you got into this business? Some other architect, some other building.
Sure. I'm going to stay close to home here again, too. And it was Louis Kahn's Kimball Art Museum in Fort Worth. He designed that in 1971. And that's just an outstanding piece of architecture. He did work all over the world. We're just lucky to have that particular building here in our own backyard.
Yeah, I've been there many times, and you're right. The building has, I say that we're on all these nooks and crannies. That building has some really cool nooks and crannies, don't you think?
It does. That's one of the reasons I like it so much, is that it responds to every one of your senses, your sight, your smell, your feel. Just the fact you walk in the main entryway and you're walking on gravel underneath the Alpon Holly Court with the fountains beside you. So your ears are activated, your feet are activated on that gravel path. The trees start slowing you down and getting you prepared to be contemplative as you go through and view the art inside the building itself. It responds to every one of your senses and creates the mood to be ready to look at art. It's just a fantastic example of human interaction with a design.
Yeah, can you just see him? You know how Louis Kahn was. Can you just see him there stroking that out, putting those designs together? I can imagine what that was like to watch the process.
No, he was very proud of that building. I think it's one of the ones he believes is the culmination of everything he's been working for most of his career. So he is very proud of that building.
Yeah, good choice there. What a pleasure to talk to you. Kevin Wallace, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now. My doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure is finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
To see you when I wake up is a gift I didn't think could be real. To know that you.
Just a couple of reminders from all of us here at America tonight. One, jump on it when it comes to brushes with fame. If you've had a brush with fame, I mean something good. In other words, you were, I don't know, out at Burger King. You were waiting in a long line. You found out that a couple cars in front of you, somebody paid for all your food. And it turns out it was Shaquille O'Neal. I don't know. It could be somebody from sports, somebody from politics, somebody from the movie business, just a brush with fame. Send me your brush with fame, and the reason why you want to do that is because at the end of June, I'm giving away a USA motorcycle jacket, Evel Knievel jacket. You know, they wore with the big flag on the back. I mean, it's a beautiful jacket. If you ride motorcycles, this is the bomb. And plus, your USA pride. And all you have to do is send me that. Plus, an Evel Knievel book could be coming your way. Once we run out, that's it. But we still have some to give away. So if your brush with fame is good enough, we'll do that. Everybody who's expecting a book, don't worry, you'll get them. And you'll be entered into the drawing for the motorcycle jacket. How cool is that? Of course, I don't know that you'd wear it in June. You'd melt. Although on a motorcycle, you need protection. You need that leather. So maybe you would in some parts of the country. Some parts of the country, I take that back, you might at night. But definitely, when it gets cooler in the fall, almost anywhere, you for sure could wear that. And, of course, in the wintertime, it's a neat jacket. We'll show it off again next week. We don't want to bombard you with that. Plus, coming up on our Tuesday show, normally we would do it
on Thursday of next week, the Belmont, the third leg of the Triple Crown, which there won't be a Triple Crown winner this time around. Last time, I think we all know this piece of trivia, last time that happened, it was affirmed in 1978. So once again, did not happen this time around. Animal Kingdom didn't win the Preakness. So the Belmont is a big race, but there's not going to be a Triple Crown winner. Still, we have our Triple Crown challenge. So on Tuesday, which I know is ahead of the game, and you'll actually, ooh, if we can do it, because you'll have to pick horses, so we'll just have to figure it out that way. But I want to give everybody a chance who wants to play in the game to do it, to pick a win, place, and show. Pick a trifecta. If you pick a trifecta, you get our library. That's like, you know, 7 books. Great books. So you take a chunk out of the library. Brand new hardcover books. That'll happen on Tuesday. See, post positions are on Wednesday, but we'll work around that. There's ways to work around it, right? So without further ado, though, let's head to the mailbag. Oh, that Homer's.
The mail is here!
Ooh! I knew he was there. He was there. He's waiting. I think he wants to know if he's able to enter the drawing for the motorcycle jacket, because certainly Homer Simpson has had a lot of brushes with fame. All right, here we go. This one from Jake in Austin. Jake, you're so lucky that I even go with your emails each and every night, but you crack me up with the stuff that you write. Okay, here's what Jake says. Kate, did you see the story? I know this is frivolous and stupid, but I'm always writing such hardcore things. I feel like I'm the guy in the bunker, and I want to emerge from the bunker. So I was at the grocery store buying a sixer, if you know what I mean, and I happened to see, courtesy of People magazine, that Sean Penn and Scarlett Johansson split up. So does that mean she's on the market? Well, I guess so. What do you have to offer Scarlett Johansson? She was just married to Ryan Reynolds, who's now playing a superhero in one of those. I think he's the Green Hornet. I'm not sure. And Sean Penn, well, I guess he was too much to handle or something. There's a big age gap there. I don't know. I don't pay attention to this Hollywood stuff. I know that's why you threw that out there at me. But, yeah, so technically, I guess, right, she would be on the market. Good luck with that, Jake. Now, that would truly be a brush with fame. If somehow Jake manages to split a burger with Scarlett Johansson, then, you know, Jake, we want to know about that. Possibly, if you showed us pictures, we might almost have to let you win the jacket. That'd be pretty interesting. All right, this one comes to us from, actually, New Hampshire. And the note says, hello, princess. Do you remember me? This is Bob in New Hampshire. I'm not going to give you any other clues. Here's my question. Why was Palin in New Hampshire at the same time that Mitt Romney happened to be in New Hampshire? What's up with that? Is there any chance that Sarah Palin would become a VP to Mitt Romney? Oh, no way. No way. I don't see her as a VP on anybody's ticket this time around. She already did that. That's what brought all the attention to Sarah Palin. We all know that, right? 2 years ago. No, longer than that now. I'm saying 2 years ago. 3 years ago. So she's not gonna do the vice presidential thing. You know, Mike Huckabee, though, because he's talked about waffling. He's talked about going back into the race. Maybe Huckabee as a VP, but no, Sarah Palin says it was just coincidental that she was in New Hampshire at the same time that Mitt Romney was there. It had nothing to do with her running or not. She's not really saying whether she's going to run, but she's become too big of a figure in the Tea Party, as we were talking about with Bob Nee at the top of the show. As he said, she could be the kingmaker, and there is something to being the kingmaker. I don't think she pushes that aside. I don't see it. So, all right, here's another one. This is from, and it plays into the brushes with fame. This is from Robert Garrett. Hey, Robert, big shout out. He says, I like this. In 2000, I was in Israel on a tour when we looked out in the parking lot, and there was Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather walking to their car. We walked over to their car, shook their hand. Also, that was the year, by the way, the Pope was visiting Israel. We got to see his motorcade pass us. We were standing on the street. I don't know if the email qualifies for the contest or not, but I hope so. All right. I might try to call the show if I wake up in time. I'm going to say that, yes, it qualifies you. That's a good brush with fame because you're in another country. You see the at the time Brokaw and Rather doing the evening news, and there they are, and they're going over to their car together. Well, no. Would they have been doing the evening news then? 2000. I can't remember when they – I think so, yeah. They were still doing the evening news, so that would have been at the same time. And the Pope thing is pretty interesting. So I'm going to say, Robert, you qualify. There is a chance for you to win the Motorcycle USA jacket. Okay, here's another one. This one is from Amy, who says, Kate, I've been listening to your show now for probably about a year or so. You always make me crack up. Usually about that time is when I crash. I get to listen to you for an hour or so. I remember when you did a thing on the balloon boy and the father. It might have been community service or something that he was doing. What's interesting is that I saw a piece that that balloon is going to be auctioned off. What do you think about that? Anything to get money, right? Richard Heaney was the guy, the man who pulled off the hoax 2 years ago now, I guess. He said a six-year-old was in danger. He was a stowaway in that balloon that was flying over Colorado. Now he's actually auctioning it off for charity. He thinks he can get $1 million for it. Do you think someone would pay $1 million for that saucer? He's doing it, though. It's an online auction to benefit, and it's a good cause, relief efforts in Japan. There's actually a website. You know what the website is? BalloonBoyFlyingSaucer.com. Quickly write that down if you have $1 million. BalloonBoyFlyingSaucer.com. And it's just going to go right into the trust account of an attorney in Calabasas, California, who's then going to turn around, write a check to a charity to help the Japanese cause. So they're not going to get any money whatsoever for selling that balloon. Remember, he had to do a 90-day sentence, and then he had home detention. His wife had a 20-day sentence on weekends, and she wasn't in a jail cell, but she had to do detail and all that kind of stuff. Also, they had to pay $36,000 in restitution because, remember, so many resources were used to try to track what they thought was the kid in the balloon, and everybody was outraged by that, so they made them pay up. Pretty good deal. I'm going to go and look for that $1 million, see if I can make a bid on that balloon. What do you think?